According to an old Hindu legend, there was a time when humankind were all gods. But people so abused their divinity that Brahma, the chief god, decided to take their divinity away from them and hide it where they would never find it again. The big question was, where to hide it? So one of the lesser gods suggested, what if we bury mankind's divinity deep in the earth? No, said Brahma, humans will dig down deep in the earth and they will find it. So another lesser god spoke up and he said, how about if we sink humankind's divinity deep in the ocean? No, Brahma said again, they'll dive into the deepest waters, search the ocean bed, and they'll find it. Then another of the lesser gods said, I know, let's take it to the top of the highest mountain and hide it there. But again, Brahma said, no, for eventually humans will climb every high mountain on earth and find it. Well, at that, the lesser gods were ready to give up, which is probably why they were the lesser gods. But Brahma said, here's what we'll do. We will hide humankind's divinity deep down inside of them, but they will never think to look for it there. And ever since then, the legend says, humans have been searching the earth, climbing, digging, diving, and looking everywhere for something that is already within them. Well, that resonates, doesn't it? Because that legend actually is accurate. Because the last place we humans look for God is within ourselves. For millennia, we have portrayed God as something or someone out there, separate from us, controlling the universe and determining our fate. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, we have typically portrayed God as a sort of a super being, if you will, the proverbial old man in the sky who watches everything we do and presumably takes notes and judges us and then doles out reward and punishment in this life, but even more significantly for eternity. So next week, when I talk about the transcendent God, I'll begin to explore some of the more contemporary ideas about the great God, the larger God out there, and begin to challenge these antiquated, outworn, and even destructive ideas of God as an old man, capricious, judging God in the sky. I'm dubbing next Sunday, Bring an Atheist to Church Day. And I realize, let me just say at the outset, I realize that as I begin a three-part series on the nature of God, that word God is a trigger for people, some people. It is not a trigger for me, and we use it in the Unity movement. But if it's a trigger for you, I invite you to substitute a different descriptor, whatever descriptor works for you. Perhaps it's infinite mind, or divine intelligence, the universe, life, the great mystery, the ground of all being, or even a popular one, a higher power. Whatever it is, substitute that so that these messages can connect to your own heart. But by whatever name we call it, the question remains, where do we find it? Right? Where do we find God? Well, in New Thought, of which Unity is a part, we teach that God is both immanent and transcendent. God is both immanent, meaning within us, intrinsic to our very being, and transcendent, which means God is the one power, one presence that permeates not only us, but all that is. So we say God is dual in nature, both within us and all around us. And Don Lansky, Reverend Don Lansky's new book, Peeling an Artichoke, he puts this very succinctly. He says, God is two gods in one. If those of you from my generation will recognize the old Sertz commercial. Do you remember? Sertz is a candy mint, Sertz is a breath mint. No, Sertz is two mints in one. Okay, same idea. God is two gods in one. So we get that intellectually, but that can also be very hard to grasp, or actually to hold both of those concepts at the same time is very difficult. And it raises a lot of questions. Like, so when I'm communing with God, am I talking to something out there? Or am I talking to something in here? When I pray, who or what am I praying to? Tough questions, right? And these questions have provoked a lot of debate and discussion over the years in the Unity movement, and also, as it turns out, in the McDC household. Yes, friends, we ministers don't always agree. So I tend to gravitate to the transcendent God, right? I know, I absolutely, deeply and truly know that I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, that God is at my very core, that I am an expression of God. But when I just think about God, I am drawn to the great mystery of the infinite, right? To the sort of awe-inspiring majesty and wonder of all that is. Reverend Richard, on the other hand, while certainly appreciating the joys and the wonders and miracles of nature, tends to be more drawn to God within, to the immanent God, to the higher intelligence, to the transformational power, the creative power within us that humans, just as predicted in the Hindu legend, often never find or overlook or neglect or even negate. And so over the years, we've had, let me just say, some very lively discussions about the nature of God. But a few months ago, we had a breakthrough. Well, yeah, we did. So Richard was teaching the class in Lessons in Truth, based on the Emily Cady book. That book is considered foundational to the Unity movement, the teachings in there, and I was in the class, and Richard and I, of course, have studied that book a lot. But this time, as we were going through it, there was one particular passage that leaped out at both of us, and it said this: "There is no necessity for us to separate God as substance and God as tender father," and I've added mother. "No reason why we should not, and every reason why we should, have both in one. They are one. God principle outside of us as unchangeable law. God within us as tender, loving father, mother, who has compassion for our every sorrow." And it continues. "The father, mother in us always moves into helpfulness when called on and trusted. It is as though infinite wisdom and power, which are outside as creator, upholder, and principle, become transformed into infinite love, which is father, mother, with all the warmth and tenderness that this word implies." Isn't that beautiful? To weave them together so beautifully. And Richard and I both got it. We got it that this dual identity, this dual nature, both aspects of God exist simultaneously and perfectly so. But there was something else. Marriage saved, he said. But there was something else in Richard's class that had even more impact on me. So one of the assignments he gave us in the class was to meditate for at least 10 minutes a day during the 5 weeks of the class, and if it felt right to us, if we were comfortable with it, to use as our mantra the sentence that we repeated over and over: "I want to know you. I want to know you." Well, I did that for a couple of days, And I was struggling with it a little bit. So I talked to Richard about it. And he told me that when he repeated this mantra, "I want to know you," that he was addressing it to his own heart. And I thought, wow. Because I had been addressing it to the transcendent God. And so I decided to try Richard's approach to say, "I want to know you to the deepest part of my being." And as I continued doing that, something in me began to open up. I began connecting with a higher presence in me like never before. And I still am. It is the experience of discovering an all-knowing, all-loving presence at the very core of your being. You may have experienced this. You may have other ways of referring to it. You might call it the I Am. You might call it Jesus. The Christ within, your true nature, or your higher power. I like to call it my higher Paula. It's the truest part of me, the soul that lives and breathes as me. It is incredibly kind and compassionate and loving and caring and wise. My higher Paula knows the things my ego Paula needs to learn. And thankfully, my higher self has begun to speak up. You know, often when I am meditating, I receive a message. It's like a statement of clarity or a statement of truth that's expressed in the most supportive way. You know, my God self is always looking out for me. And there's no judgment, ever. Just love, forgiveness, understanding, comfort, safety. So in the beginning, I received the message, "You should spend more time with me. You'd feel better." Sometimes when I'm trying to meditate and my mind is jumping from thought to thought, this presence in me will softly say, sometimes I am brought to tears, as when I simply heard my name, Paula. And then, "You are a blessing." I receive messages such as, "Keep moving toward the light and expect miracles." Once when I was fixating on some upcoming challenges, the message came, "You're okay. You're okay. Everything will work out. When you need ideas, they will be there. When you need drive, it will be there. When you need wisdom, you will have it. Don't worry about any of it." And perhaps the most touching message from this loving presence has been, "I've got you. You're not alone. Not now. Not ever." At this point, you may be wondering, is she okay? Is she hearing voices? So let me assure you, I am okay. I am very okay. I have heard these things. I've been in Unity since 1980. And I have heard statements like this before, statement for scripture and verses, "The kingdom of heaven is within you, Christ in you, your hope of glory." Even Jesus saying, "Did I not say you are God's?" And saying, "I am a child of God. I am an expression of God." I've heard these things, but it's never been so real to me. Yes, I am okay. And yes, I do receive messages. And guess what? So do you. So do you. You may not be aware of it. They may be a little different kind of messages. You may be skeptical that you receive them. But have you ever been on the verge of saying something that actually was not very kind or appropriate, and something in you said, don't say that? Have you ever been going about your business and suddenly you get a message, call mom or call your friend, and you're like, wow, that like came out of nowhere. And you call the person and you find out that they exactly needed you to call them right then. Yeah. Or have you ever done something that you regret and later gone back and said, ah, why did I do that? I knew better. Who knew better? What part of you knew better? Who in you knew better? You might say, oh, well, it was my conscience or it was my intuition. But I think it's your higher self trying to get through to you. It's the you that you don't know, trying to be heard. I believe with all my heart that each and every one of you and each and every one of you has this wise and loving presence within you. You've had it your whole life. You always will have it. It's not separate from you. It's not like a God, like, you know, God's out here and we got a little piece of God and that little God is in us talking. It's not like that. This is who you are. This is who you truly are, who you deeply are, your soul, if you will. You know, sometimes we think our ego is who we are. Our ego is not who we are. Our ego is just this little vehicle that helps us navigate through life here on earth. Who we truly are is the wholeness, the allness, the all wisdom of God, of Spirit, the divine. If you cultivate a relationship with this in you, with your higher self, if you will, it will guide you, but more than that, it will love and support you. It will love you in a way you've never felt before. With this love, nothing else is needed. Nothing. And remember that what you are seeking is also seeking you, right? I mean, I almost picture just like that message I got. Yeah, just spend more time with me. It's like the divine in you is just looking for an opportunity for you to be open and receptive so that it can connect, so that it can love you. There's a wonderful quote in a Sanskrit text, ancient Sanskrit text. It's called the Maitri Upanishad, and it says this: words cannot describe the joy of the soul who is one with his Atman, his own spirit. Only those who feel this joy know what it is. I wish this joy for each of you. I wish this discovery for each of you, and I know some of you have already made it. That you find the you that you don't know, that you find this tremendously loving, grounding presence within you, so that someday you might get the message from your higher self that says, you finally found me. Actually, you finally found you. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to just get comfortable in your seat and feel Mother Earth supporting you. Take a deep breath in as you close your eyes, if you wish. Release and let go. Let go and let go. Imagine this God presence in you just sweetly saying, shh. feeling yourself relax. Letting go. Letting this be a time of subtraction to find the divinity within. Great Meister Eckhart said, God is not found in the soul by adding anything, but by a process of subtraction. Set aside any busy thoughts. And breathe. And if it feels comfortable for you, I invite you to imagine God in you. Your higher self, your whole self, your perfect, beautiful, radiant self. Sending you a message. Imagine it saying right now, your name. Your name. And then, you are a blessing. Feel it. Know it. Imagine this knowing place of wisdom within you saying, you're okay. You're okay. Everything will be okay. There is nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I've got you. I've got you. You are not alone, not now, not ever. I invite you to just take a moment to breathe into this connection and listen for whatever message is meant for you in the silence. Now returning your attention to this moment, breathing in deeply and feeling gratitude just wash over you for the amazing spiritual journey that you're on, for your life, your beautiful life. Feel gratitude and know that all good things are coming your way. And for this truth, we're so grateful, so grateful. Thank you, God. So it is. Amen.